Glad that you're here to bring honor and praise to God. And the way you bring honor and praise is by bringing your full mind, your full attention to the service. Last Sunday, we spoke from Matthew 16, verse 13, a message that was titled, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It was a continuation of our series from 1 Timothy chapter 4 regarding the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that some will depart from the faith by following those. So we talked last Sunday about whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am. We had quite a few people out last week, so I want to encourage you to go back and to either get a copy of the CD or go to sermonaudio.com to our site, and you'll give the address later, and listen to that message. I want you to have the full realization of where we are and to be able to follow along. I've been studying this week and I'm going to give you a little time to catch up by listening to that message. I won't bring the next message today. But I've been studying this week not about whom do men say that Jesus Christ is, but what does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? That's exciting. I've had a wonderful time studying this week. But I know that there's been a lot of talk and discussion ongoing regarding our building and the plans for the building. And I've had a message in my heart for a long time. I want to bring it this morning, hopefully tying into that, and hopefully it'll be stirring to your soul. Turn to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. We'll begin reading Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. I want to speak this morning about worship. About worship. I don't know if you noticed the song service this morning, but I was just thrilled, just absolutely thrilled with the selections that were called out this morning. I was just thinking this morning, driving up here, and I was trying to do some meditation. I was listening to some tapes and listening to Brother Bradley on the radio. And I was thinking this morning about how often the songs that I select are more experiential songs, songs of experience. Those songs are wonderful, and I'm glad that we have those songs in our book. But I was longing and even praying for, Lord, would You give us songs today of worship? Songs that just directly go to You and tell You how great we think You are. How great that You have proclaimed Yourself to be, and letting us tell You again that, yes, we do recognize that what You have proclaimed is true, and we take great delight in lifting our voices just as loud as we can, telling You, You're pretty good. No, You're great. You're awesome. Songs like, I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. I don't know that those verses by heart, but I know that last part says nothing's going to stop me from praising my Maker while I have breath. Songs like, I wish I could quote this song, with reverence, let the saints appear. You know, there are times when our spiritual minds become full of cobwebs, aren't they? And we don't bring hearts of worship on a continual basis. We get so distracted with the things of earth, and even we can hear something good about God, and it just doesn't produce the praise that we know should be there. You've all been there. I've been there myself. But there is something about spending some time just contemplating the person, the character of God, that has an automatic production of praise bursting forth from the heart of one who loves God. That's been my experience this week. I just had the opportunity to spend time meditating on verses like, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to any other, nor my praise to graven images. Verses like in Exodus 3 when Moses says, God, tell me who you are. And he says, I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. Presenting this God that is self-existent, that is eternal, that has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but is the eternal God existing by Himself, for Himself, through Himself, dependent upon absolutely nothing. And that is what this Psalm, Psalm 99, attempts to do. It says, the Lord reigneth. Think about that. God reigns over all. God is in charge. God sits upon the circle of the earth. He is in charge over all. And that thought should cause the people to tremble. Some people to tremble with fright, and some to tremble with awe and excitement. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The name of God describes the character of God, and the name of God is the name of God, as it says in Isaiah 57, is holy. That is, God is not like you and me. He is separate. He is a cut above. He is different than. He is not like you and I. He's far above. He is exalted above the heavens. And so that should produce worship in our spirits. Someone has said that worship could be spelled like this. W-O-R-T-H. Worship. W-O-R-T-H. What is worship? It's just proclaiming to God. It's heralding to God. It's speaking to God just exactly how worthy He is of our praise. Just how excellent, just how high and far above, just how exalted that His name is. You see, the lifeblood of a child of God is worship. That is exactly why we're here. To worship God in our minds, to worship God with our voices, to worship God with our actions. We are created to worship God. For Thy pleasure, it says in Revelation 4, they are and were created. And so because worship is the life of a child of God, we can all identify with Psalm 95, verse 6. I don't know about you, but I enjoy coming to God's house. Somebody remarked earlier, it's good to be in the house of God. So that's why this verse, Psalm 95, verse 6, has meaning to you if you are a lover of Jesus Christ. It says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, it is rare that people will respond to a call to come and humble themselves. Look at what He's asking us to do. He says, come, let's bow down, let's kneel before somebody that is greater than us. That's not very common in life, to come and sing the praises of somebody who is greater than me. That's not common for me. That's not natural for me. I want to sing my own praises. I want you to sing my praises and say, what a great guy he is, and how friendly he is, and how charming he is, and what a wonderful person he is. It's rare, it's uncommon, it's unnatural for you and I to come and respond to a call to bow down, to kneel, and say, this one is greater than I. But to a child of God, that's music to our ears. Where are we meeting? When are we meeting? Let's go. Oh, come. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before God. Because He is our Maker, and we are the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. And the sheep of His hand. You see, worship again is the lifeblood of a child of God. There is nothing that fulfills, nothing that satisfies us as much as worship. Now I want to talk about a specific part of worship this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We normally think of worship as what? As singing, lifting our voices, raising our hearts, the melody to God. We think of worship as preaching, where the minister gets up and he reads a text of Scripture and he proclaims the Word of God. And it comes in power. Our hearts are made to rejoice. Our hearts mingle with His in a sacrifice of praise to God. We think of worship as times of meditation or times of prayer where it's just me and God and we're talking to Him and I'm feeling a communion with Him. I'm feeling that He's speaking to me and I feel so close to Him. And that is worship, and that's certainly all those parts are very key and essential parts of worship. But that's not all that worship is about. Let's read in Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. That's worship, right? Glorify God. Honor the Lord. That's what we're here to do. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I want to speak this morning about worshiping God with our finances. Worship Him by giving. Now that's a topic that's awkward in many places, isn't it? You don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, and you don't talk about money. Those are all very touchy subjects. And that's true if it's handled the wrong way. That's true if it's a strong-arm tactic. But again, worship is the lifeblood of a child of God. And a spiritual heart responds to a call to worship. When we sing, "Yes, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord Maker." You say, when can we come? When can we worship? How can we do it? Tell me how to worship God better. And Proverbs 3 says, this is the way I want you to worship. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. And then it says some very strange wording. If you're giving things, if you're giving away, if you're giving of your substance, if you're giving of the first fruits of your increase, then somehow you lose, right? That's not what it says. It says when you worship God, when you honor God with your substance, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That sounds like the exact opposite of what should happen, doesn't it? The way that is to fill your barns with plenty is to save plenty, is to put plenty into the barns. That's not what God says. God says, I want you to honor me with the very first fruits of your increase. I want you to honor me with your substance. Then thy barns, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Turn to Malachi chapter 3 just for a minute. Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi, God is strongly rebuking the people of Israel. They have sinned in many, many ways. One way that they have sinned was by withholding their offerings from the Lord. And let's read this in verse 8 of Malachi 3. Let's read verse 7 first. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? God says, you've gone away from me. You have turned from me. He said, I want you to return back to me. I said, well, how shall we return to you? We haven't turned away from you. He says, yes, you have. Listen, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be room enough to receive it. What does God say? God says, you have robbed me. I say, how have you robbed me? He says, you have robbed me by withholding your offerings from me. Now, think about this just for a minute. Have they really robbed God? Well, not really. Not by money. After all, God owns everything, doesn't He? He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. All that is in heaven and all that is in earth belongs to God. So in what sense have they robbed God by withholding their offerings, by withholding the first fruits of their substance? How have they robbed God? What they had robbed God was not the money they had robbed God of. What they had robbed God of was of the honor that was due unto Him the worship that was due unto Him, the glory that was due unto Him, when they offered willingly from their hearts an offering of praise to God. Now listen, the point of this message is not to accuse the church at Ripley of being a church that robs God. I don't believe you are. In fact, I believe the exact opposite. I believe this is a very benevolent church. I believe this is a very generous church. Like, I know you're a very generous church. You're a very giving church. You're a very supportive church. You're a church that has the right thing in mind. But I'll never want to lose an opportunity to exhort you to greater worship, to greater praise, to greater giving unto the Lord. It's never wrong. It's never wrong to exhort you to further worship. Now let's talk about money and giving for just a minute. You will find about me that I will never be one who's a good fundraiser. I am not a good strong-arm tactician. I also am not good at pep rallies. I think pep rallies are very short in their lasting meaningfulness. But what I am about is worship. I want to worship God just to the very utmost of my ability. And I want you to be a people that worships God to the very utmost of their ability. And I think that this is exactly where most of modern Christendom completely misses the point about giving and about finances. If you've ever turned on the television and watched one of the television preachers, just about all they talk about is, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I'll give you this magic handkerchief if you will send me some money. I'll send you this fantastic Bible if you will send me some money. It's all about give me, give me, give me. And you know what? That never penetrates the soul, does it? It might get to your head for a few minutes if you're very confused, but it never gets down to your soul. And I think we also miss the point much of the time. In most of our church covenants, it says something like this. We vow to give to the defraying of the church's expenses. And so what happens most of the time in many churches is, okay, well, let's see, what are the church's expenses? And say, well, we have the light bill and the heat bill, the electric bill, the water bill. That sums up to $437 a month. And so usually what happens is they give about $437 a month. No more, no less. Right on the mark, $437 a month. But see, it misses the point. It's mechanical. It's not getting to the heart. There is no joy. There is no praise. There is no worship. There is no worship. And then others do it like this. They say, you must give a tithe, a certain percentage, to the Lord. I don't believe that the New Testament teaches tithing, personally. We're going to talk about what I believe. I believe the New Testament teaches worship. You give as your heart is worshiping. And so what happens when they teach a strict tithing? What happens with this? You say, well, I made $147 this past week. And so you get the calculator, and you go $147 times 0.1, and that makes $10.047. And so you scratch your head and say, okay, does that mean 10.04, or do I round up and go to 10.05? And you say, there's no worship involved. There's a problem that there is no worship involved. Or you get, like I've had asked of me many times, Brother Isaac, do you think that God is talking about tithing on the gross or tithing on the net? Is this before taxes or after? Is this before health insurance and taxes or after? I tell you, you know what? I don't think God cares anything about that at all. I don't think God cares about whether you're tithing on the net, tithing on the gross. I think God could care less about that. What God cares about is your heart and my heart. Offering up praises, sacrifices of praise to God continually with our mouths, with our lips, and with our substance. And that's what I care about. I care about worship. And so you'll never hear me saying a bunch of rules. You'll never hear me saying, we got to raise these funds. What you hear me saying is, listen, we got to worship God. We got to worship God. We must be about worship. And worship must include honoring God with our substance. So let's talk for a little while this morning about some principles of worship as they apply to giving. First of all, worship must include praise and joy. If you don't have true praise, heart-filled praise, if you don't have true joy, you don't have worship. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29 to see a very happy, joyful occasion of worship as it related to giving. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The setting of this passage is when David, the bloody king, was not allowed by God to build a house for God as David desired. But God told David that Solomon could build a house to him. So David took great joy in preparing the house of God before it would be built by his son. And let's break in here. First, let's start reading in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. David realized, he recognized that what he was doing, what he was contributing to, what he was giving to, was not for man, but it was for God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for brass, the iron for iron, the wood for wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones, divers colors, and all manners of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, listen to this, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Look at verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds were the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. First of all, you have a leader. You have a leader whose heart is set for, whose affection is set for the house of the Lord. And you have a leader who is leading and directing the people to set their affection to the things of God, to the things of worship, then you have a good start in worshiping God with your substance. And so David says, I want to worship God. I want to prepare the house of God. I want the house of God to shine, to be bright, to be a place where God's name will be high and lifted up, and the people will esteem God very highly. So David, with all his heart, gave it to the Lord. The people saw David's giving, and David's joy, and David's offering, and his willing giving, and said, you know what, we want to do the same thing. So the people began to give like crazy, and they rejoiced because they were able. They rejoiced because they were able, not because they had to. They rejoiced because they were able to give to honor the Lord, to worship God with their substance. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, we're fixing to read one of the most wonderful, blessed prayers of praise that is found in Scripture. And it's all about worshiping God as a result of being able to give to God. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. How long has it been since you've heard a prayer like that in the congregation? Isn't that beautiful? Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. You see, the proper mindset is to remind ourselves, is to contemplate, is to bring to mind over and over and over again just how exalted, just how high, just how excellent the name and the character of our God is. And as you bring the greatness of God into your mind, it's amazing how it produces a heart that is willing to worship God in any way that He says, I will be worshipped. He says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory. Thine, O Lord, is the victory. Thine, O Lord, is the majesty. He's just pouring out praises, heaping up upon God. And he says, for all that is in the earth, all that is in the heaven, belongs to you, is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Look at verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest
over all. What the riches and honor come from? They come from my hard work, from the sweat of my brow, from the strength of my mind, from my dedication to get through with school. No, riches and honor come from Almighty God. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the One who owns it all in the first place. Your mind, your ability to think, your ability to be an inventor, to be an entrepreneur, your ability to, whatever you do is given to you by God, and you must recognize the source of all that is God, who has the greatness, who has the majesty, and who has deigned to give you a little bit to use. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, listen to this, now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. David says, who am I? How could I be so privileged? How can I have this great honor as to be able to bow down before God, my Creator, who the One is the shepherd of my soul? Who am I? How is it that I'm so blessed, so privileged to be able to bow down before this great God and worship Him with my substance? What a mindset. What a mindset of praise. What a mindset of joy. What a beautiful mindset. You see, I'm just going to say it. If I had my brothers, the box in the back is great, and I'm thankful for the box. But if I had my brothers, we'd pass this plate around here. Nobody would look to anybody else. We'd look straight ahead, or we'd look up, or we'd close our eyes, and we'd sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, as we put our dollar, or put our penny, or put our check in the plate. You know, this is a part, this is a tremendous part of worship. We're worshiping God. We're saying, oh God, who am I? How have you blessed me so much to be able to give of the first fruits of my increase and be able to place them back in your hand? And when you're worshiping God, you're saying, what you're actually doing is you're acknowledging to God that it all belongs to Him anyway, right? And you're reminding yourself, and you can get this as well, you're reminding yourself that this is God's. This is God's. How important that is. How important that is in our day and time. Our covetous day and time, our materialistic day and time, we gather, because we say, this is mine. I have worked hard for this. I deserve this. But when you worship God, when you're worshiping God, you're saying, God, this is yours. And I'm privileged to be able to give this to you, God. And I thank and praise your great and terrible name that you allow me to offer an offering that is acceptable in your sight. How great a God you are to deign. And let this poor, humble soul be able to give to you. God, you prosper me. God, you bless me. If you've got $10 in the bank, if you've got $10,000 in the bank, you say, oh God, you prosper me. You bless me. And I praise your name that you allow me. You see what a different mindset it is than saying $104 and saying it's times 0.1, okay? That's 10.04. No, 10.05. Is it gross? Is it net? Who cares about that? Let's talk about worship. What about worship? This is a lot different, isn't it? Well, so worship should involve praise and joy. What's another principle of worship? Worship must be our first priority. Worship must be our first priority. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. And let's remember our text, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, of thine increase. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now notice this. He doesn't make any specification, any rule about how much to give, does He? What does He say, though? He says, on the first day of the week, implying that not only is this time they met to worship, but implying this is the first place, a high priority, this is the first priority in my life. This is the first priority in my life. Proverbs says, you honor the Lord with the first fruits of thine increase. Now what that first day and the first fruits is strongly implying is this, is that we're not talking about the leftovers. We're not talking about, well, let's get here and let's see, we have the gas, we have the electric, we have the food, we have the car, we have the new whatever, and then we're going to see what we have left over, that's what we'll give to God. He says, no, I want you, the first thing you think about, the very first thought of your mind, and everything that you do is, how can I worship God with whatever I have? I wake up in the morning, Lord, I want to worship you this morning. And when I get the check on Friday, Lord, I want to worship you first. I want to worship you first. You see, worship should have the first priority in our lives. I was blessed to... Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 21 just for a minute. Luke 21. Again, showing this is not about rules. This is not about a certain amount. This is not about any of that. It's about worship. Luke 21. We'll read verse 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Listen to this. This is all about priority. The rich man gave a big number to God. But that big number meant how much to God? It probably meant a lot to the people that watched, but it meant nothing to God. But he's saying they were giving from their leftovers. They had an abundance, they just said, we'll just take out a little dip out of the abundance and we'll just throw it in there. And now we're not affected, we look good, everything's going well. And God says, I care less about that. What I care about is that lady didn't give from her abundance, she gave from her penury. And she gave 2 cents. He gave 50 bucks, she gave 2 cents. But let me tell you, she gave all that she had. It was a first priority in her life. I had the blessing of counseling a young man not too long ago who had gotten himself into a financial mess. Financial mess. He had too many credit cards and had lots of debt on them. He was owing the IRS a big bunch of money and he was 2 years late. He had car payment that was too much and it was overdue by a couple of months. He was in a mess. And we talked about changing some habits and those kind of things. And then I said this. I said, listen, we're going to get down here, we're going to put it on paper. We're going to have to put this guy off for a couple of months. We're going to hammer this guy, and we finally got it to where we figured out. And so the first thing we're going to do is this. The first thing we're going to do is every single week, I want you to put an offering into the plate. That's going to be the first thing you think about. He said, man, I don't have anything to give. I said, if you put $2, put 26, I don't care. But the first thing you do, when you ever start coming at the creditors, the IRS, the truck payments, whatever that is, the first thing you do, I want you to put something into the plate. I want you to honor God and say, God, this is my offering of worship to you. I found out a couple weeks ago he was just recently able to double what he's been putting into the plate. He's not out of his mess yet. He's still working at it. Eventually he'll get there. But he's honoring the Lord with the first fruits of his increase. He's saying, Lord, the first thing that I do is I want to honor you. If we look at our lives, we say, what is our first priority? Normally we look where? We look at our house. We look at our closets. We look at our credit card statement. We look at our wardrobe. We look somewhere. But I want to say that the proper way to worship God is when we look at our priorities, is we look at what do we do? How do we give? How do we honor the Lord with our worship? That shows our true priorities. The poor widow, you say, this is not amount. She gave 2 cents. I could care less what you give. I could care less. What I care about is, are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the Lord for the first fruits of your increase? Whether that's 2 cents or $200 matters not to God. What matters to Him is What's our priorities? Luke chapter 12
says it this way. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to sow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down up my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, worship reminds us to beware of things that are damaging to our souls. And one thing that is damaging to our souls is covetousness. What can I lay up? What can I treasure up? What can I bring into my barns? How can I increase my barns? How can I increase my goods? How can I increase my net worth? What does God say? God says, look at this rich man. He had so much. He was so self-satisfied. He was so fulfilled. He had no worries except for one thing. He didn't realize that the gig was almost up. Life was almost over. He said, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to have to build a new storehouse. Put all this grain in. Do you think there was nobody that was poor or needy in that town? I doubt it. I'm sure there was. I'm sure there were plenty of needs. The rich man didn't see any of those needs. Why? Because his heart was rich towards himself. His heart was not rich toward God. Worship must be our first priority. Number three, worship. Worship is a sacrifice. Worship is a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us offer unto God. Let me just read it to not mess it up. By Him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Worship is a sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul confirms the exact same thing. When he praises the Philippians for their benevolent spirit in helping him out and contributing to his needs, he says this in 4:18. But I have all abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Worship is a sacrifice. By definition, sacrifice means that it hurts a little bit. And I'll remind you of the story in 2 Samuel 24 where David is trying to buy a place, buy some land to be able to make an offering to God to praise God for taking away the plagues that He had given to His people. And this man says, David, I'm just going to give it to you. And David says, no. He said, I will not offer to God that which has cost me nothing. You see, when we see, we get a grasp on how privileged it is, how wonderful it is to be able, to be allowed, again, as David says in Psalm 29, to be able to worship God, to have been given a heart that loves God, to be have given a hope in heaven, to have been given the peace that passes all understanding while He walks through this tumultuous life. We realize what a blessing it is to be able to worship God and say, listen, I want it to cost me something. I want to be able to show God just how thankful I really am. I don't want to prove to God how great I am or prove to God how much I sacrifice. I want to show God just how very thankful I am for His blessings, for Jesus Christ in my life. I want to worship and I want it to cost me something. Give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. Worship Him. Worship is a sacrifice. Talk about one more before we close. Worship is to be sincere and from a willing heart. Worship is to be sincere and from a willing heart. Let me remind you of the insincerity of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They gave and they gave a lot. But what was their mindset? Their mindset was to get the praise of men.
They said, we're going to give, and men are going to see this. And they say, Ananias and Sapphira are so dedicated, they gave everything that they had. But they hadn't, had they? They hadn't, had they? They had an insincere gift, and God didn't smile upon that, did He? God struck them dead because of the insincerity of their offering. See, again, this is all about worship. It's about giving to God from our hearts, about praising God with our mouths, with our tongues, and with our substance, with our actions. Well, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to see a very sincere group. This is a beautiful story in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Corinth here, and he's telling them the story about the churches of Macedonia. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the churches. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." I want to tell you about this wonderful church of Macedonia. These people were a very poor church. You reckon you have any thoughts about that? They were a very poor church. They didn't have a lot to give. But they had given themselves to the Lord. They had dedicated their lives to the Lord. And so they were willing of themselves to go beyond. Let's read it how it says it. Verse 3. "For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Now, God wants us to be smart with our finances. He doesn't want us to give away all our money and not be able to make the house payment. But God says, "I want to see a willing heart." What I care about, again, is not how much you give, but I care about a willing heart. And their heart was willing because they had given themselves to God. They had dedicated their lives to God. They were willing to go up even beyond their power, if they could, to keep Paul preaching the gospel. They cared so much about the freeing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Listen, if we have to, we'll go beyond our power to keep Paul preaching, to keep Paul going, to keep Paul ministering, because we love the gospel of Jesus Christ above all things in life." I'll ask you, does your lifestyle, does my lifestyle reflect that I love the gospel of Jesus Christ? I love the proliferation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love to help the poor. And as I help the poor, that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ through. I love that above everything else in life, that I am willing to go beyond my power, if it need be, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is enamored with it. He says this in verse 8. He said, "I speak not by commandment." I'm not going to strong arm you, Corinth. I won't do that. And I won't do that either. I will never strong arm you. You're a good church already. I will never strong arm you, but I will do this. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." And then look to where he appeals to. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Now, if you're speaking to spiritual people, what would you appeal to? You would appeal to their spiritual mind, wouldn't you? And Paul brings in one of the most lovely verses in Scripture. He says, "Listen, I want you to be like the churches of Macedonia. And I'm not going to strong arm you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to make you feel guilty. I'm not going to do any of these things, but this is what I will do. I'm going to tell you about Jesus." And what did Jesus do? "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich." Do you know anybody rich as Jesus Christ? He owns the cattle of the thousand hills. He lives in heaven where He not only surveys the earth, but He rules over the earth. And this very rich man came down to earth and became poor. He became poor. Why? So that you, He loved you so much that He became poor for your sakes, that through His poverty you might be made rich. And he says, look at Jesus. He appeals to the example of Jesus Christ. and says, now, I want you to worship Him. And herein I give my advice. This is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also before, a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, and as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. I love the wisdom of this chapter. He says, listen, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to lay a burden on anybody here. I just want you to worship. And he says, here's how we'll do it. First of all, I want you to have a willing mind. Look at Jesus Christ, he has a willing mind. Don't give according to what you don't have. Give according to what you do have. If you love the Lord and you don't have much, give 2 cents. And if you have a willing mind, that's all you can give, that's great. He says, there will be an equality. At this time, you may be able to give more and she may be able to give less. But the tables may be turned and she may be able to give for you. And you may not have anything to give then. There's a wonderful equality in the gospel. Don't give according to what you don't have. Give according to what you do have. But most importantly, have a willing mind and keep in mind what the example of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll close there. I'm going to finish this message this afternoon. And we'll see how effective it is by how many people come back. I may preach in an empty stadium this afternoon, but I don't believe so. Because I believe that we have people who are spiritual people. People who respond to a call to worship. And I don't know what the Lord has in mind for this building or for anything else. And let me say this, I don't want the building. I don't want the building if it won't be used for the right purpose. If it won't be a house of true worship, a place where the gospel can be proclaimed and spread, and I don't care about it. I don't care about it at all. But if this can be a place where God's name can be honored and God's glory will shine, it'll be used for the spread of the gospel. It'll be used to preach the gospel to the poor, to minister to the needy, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in His truth and in clarity and in power. And I think it's a worthy cause, a cause that we should want to worship God just as much as we can. May God bless you is my prayer. We'll stand and sing a song. And anybody who desires to follow the Lord, to worship with us, may make that desire known as we sing this song. 323. My God.
forsake the Lord.
I want to encourage you again, I'm not touting my own messages, but I want to encourage you again to get the message from last Sunday to keep up with where we are and to listen to that message. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Brother Chuck, do you have that address or are you going to get that this afternoon? Why don't you just, you got it here?
Pretty excited about sermon audio. Where we have our sermon audio site, it's I got it printed out, so it's www.sermonaudio.com/RipleyPBC. And we had, I get a monthly report, I meant to print it out, but anyway, we had so far 177 page views, about 35 sermon downloads. We had two people from Malaysia download sermons, two people from England. I know there's another foreign country in there, China. And from Tennessee, Ohio, Mississippi, two other states. Download sermons. So I really believe it's exciting to me. I think it's going to be a good ministry, and I believe printed out some the website, and I'll put it on that backboard.
That's in 1 week or 2 weeks? That's in 1 week, so I'm thankful for that. May the Lord bless the gospel to be able to be proclaimed. People hear the truth. I know that camp is coming up, and I just want to encourage everybody to be praying for Harmony Hill and camp, that the Spirit of the Lord might be there and might be a time of real spiritual renewal for all those that are able to go. Of course, there'll be work days, both the last two Saturdays before camp, and just it's coming together real well, but I'm sure there's some cleaning that needs to be done in the house, bunkhouses, in the bathrooms, and just thankful for all the improvements that have been made this year, and just really grateful for all the people who worship God by giving. Just had a wonderful, Brother Aaron was over $15,000 given this year, $13,000, so I'm just thankful for that, and the Lord will continue to bless the camp. And next Sunday, Brother Zach's going to be at Harmony Hill at a church in Texas, so I'll be filling in for him at Grace Chapel, so we'll miss you next Sunday, but that'll give you time to listen to that last Sunday sermon, and hopefully we'll be ready to proceed the following Sunday. Any more announcements? Okay. Any more announcements or prayer requests? Ladies Bible study tomorrow night, 6:30 at here. Okay. Yeah, some of my kids are going to flu too, so that's why I'm not here. I will say that Rachel's mother got some good news this past week. She did a CAT scan, and the cancer cells had shrunk somewhat, and they're doing a PET scan tomorrow, which is more conclusive, but we're thankful that just to have a little bit of good news. And she's about to have her last treatment, I think, in about 2 weeks. The treatment has done some damage to her heart, and she's going to see a cardiologist to see how much damage has been done to her heart. But we're just thankful to have some good news. So we need to pray for Laura. She Laura's at home, and she had some good days and bad days. I think she went to work for a couple hours on Friday and had a really bad day yesterday. So just kind of up and down. Just pray for Sister Laura. Anybody else? Any more announcements, prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm going to thank the Lord for the message. I'm fairly convinced that maybe one of the greatest or the most important messages a man or a child of God's got. Because we're all like to hold on to what we think we have when we don't have anything really. We've got that done. So if a man has a spirit of giving, it's a great, great blessing.
We'll have lunch this after the close of the service, and then we will have afternoon services following lunch. Brother Abram, would you lead some prayer, please?